Hello, anime fans. I'm Trash. You're Trash. We're all Trash. But we're here to prove that we are not your typical weebs, your brand new favorite anime podcast. Hey, it's Dan.
Hey, it's Dominique.
And it's Melissa.
So we are switching up the format. We're kind of switching up our release schedule. And we wanted to try something a little bit more, structured. We're going to take a look at one of the biggest animes of recent times and kind of critique its first season. And what anime is that, Dom?
It is My Hero Academia, or Boku no Hero Academia in Japanese, season one.
Everyone's new favorite anime. Everyone has a favorite character.
It's more like just the new Naruto.
It's a new Naruto. Everyone has their... We already established this, that everyone has their own Deku ship.
Yeah.
Really? Some more popular than others.
Yeah.
And we kind of want to take a look at the first season of this show and kind of talk about, like, how well does it set up the world, how well does it set up the story, how well does it set up the characters. So, yeah, let's get right into it.
Okay. So right off the bat, when we get into this show, like in terms of like the major antagonist, like as the overarching final boss kind of situation, they get right into it.
When did they introduce Shigaraki?
Shigaraki comes in, let's see here, on episode... I gotta keep scrolling. Episode 9.
Which, do we need a spoiler warning?
Yeah, by the way, I guess spoiler warning for
description before you watch this, if you even bother to read it.
Yeah. This originally aired in, you know, Japan 2016, first aired in America 2018, so...
But in case you haven't watched it yet, something on your to-watch list.
Or if you're trying to use this to gauge, like, your interest level for it, just the first season. We're not going to go beyond for first season for a lot of stuff, so.
So actually, I kind of want to take a little back here. So let me ask the panel here. How did you first get introduced to My Hero Academia? Were you a manga reader first, or did you actually start the anime?
I read the manga.
Melissa?
I watched the anime.
And I was a manga reader first. And but
specifically, I told her she should watch this because I knew she would like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not wrong. It was literally 2019.
Yeah. Mm.
And we were at San Diego Comic Con.
Oh.
And there was a... it was right when they released the glow-in-the-dark Todoroki pop.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones, you know, it was technically, a con exclusive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like... If you haven't watched this, you really should watch this. She even at the time was just like, you'll really like this character.
Hmm.
She's predictable.
I am predictable.
Yeah, and me personally also saying, I actually started reading the manga when the anime started to air because it was hard not to actually, you know, avoid it. Yeah, it was hard just like to not because it was everywhere because everyone was talking about this hot new anime.
Yeah, because again,
talk about it, you see it everywhere.
It just turned into the new Attack on Titan, which was the new Naruto, which was this and that. It's just now the staple top shonen show right now.
Mm-hmm. And just for the sake of, so we can comparison, the first season covered roughly the first volume to the shortly after the third volume. So it doesn't actually cover that much of the overarching story.
Specifically, it covers two arcs.
Yeah. And they were relatively short arcs.
Yeah, so it's the training montage and then the introduction to, like, the main villain that helps tie everything together. Like, all the seasons and stuff. For me, when I first started reading this, I don't even know how I found it. I was just like, oh, here's this new thing. Maybe I'll try reading it.
That's normal for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I end up on a lot of weird things that way. But so I started doing this and I'm like, oh, this is just like Japan's answer to Marvel and DC. Like, holy shit. It's there sky high.
Yeah.
Get the reference, guys.
Now, we're not talking about the Tiger and Bunny sky high. We're talking about that Disney movie sky high.
That still really hurts, though.
true. Like, it's true.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm pained inside, though.
Yeah. If you guys have been listening, I make a lot of, like, links that people, it, like, weirds people out of how well it fits.
It's hell, and you can never forget it.
But, like, it's just sky high, and with that slight sprinkle of Marvel and DC here with the darkness, because, again, from, like, episode one, it's just, hey, go jump off the fucking school rooftop so maybe you'll get a superpower in your next life. Like, this kid's fucked up, yo.
We don't talk about that.
We talked about everyone's problematic, but favorite angry child. We already discussed this.
Even All Might, though, like when he talks to Deku, he's like, oh, you don't have a power, so you can't be a hero. Like, you just told a depressed kid who was just told to jump off a fucking rooftop and you left him on the rooftop. Granted, he didn't know that was said to him, but...
So, let's talk about this, actually. Let's talk about the introduction to our hero. Like, how do you guys feel within the first couple episodes? How do you feel about the introduction of Deku? Like, did he do a good job? Like, establishing his character? What he wants? What do you guys think of it?
I think it follows the superhero formula perfectly. And it's at time, and like in season one, I'll be honest, it was boring.
Really?
Well, I
don't understand what you mean on that.
Okay, so season one was a lot of the world building and laying out kind of the rules of this world that's being built. Like, I get it. Season one is the buildup. But again, with that, season one suffered what most season one shows do in terms of it's boring. It follows the formula. There's nothing that's really surprising or takes you out of glance. Like, it's standard staple cliche galore kind of thing. So it feels very boring.
Okay. It's also just in a way very cliche, like shonen hero of, you know, they want to be powerful, but they have all these problems that, you know, cause them issues and why they can't be powerful. But then they're like slowly overcoming that kind of thing.
It's a finger. Oh, look, you have all the greatest power in the world. Like, you're OP as fuck. Mm-hmm. But you need a training montage. Like.
So here's my counterpoint to that. Yes, you are right. It is unbelievably cliched. But here's my view of it. Cliche doesn't necessarily mean bad. Just because you
I'm
can
not
predict
saying it's bad.
Let Daniel finish his point, though.
Yeah. Just because you can predict what's happened doesn't mean you still can't enjoy it. For, you know, me personally, I thought, yeah, it does the formula, but the reason why I enjoyed it so much because it does the formula so goddamn well. It really made me care. It made me feel like 13-year-old Dan watching Dragon Ball, watching all these power-ups and these training montages and these friendship moments. Like, yeah, this is what I originally loved about anime so much, and it captured that perfectly. And I think that's why for a lot of people it clicked really well, because it did it so well. It captured the formula perfectly.
For me, like I said before, like my doubt, for me watching this, and my demerit to this season was just it's very formula fitting standard. But what kept me watching season one, because I already read the manga, like I had no reason to really watch the anime. Like, they followed the manga like word for word almost.
Yes.
So like for me, I think it compounded on me being just bored by season one.
Because you saw it already.
Yeah, but I think what helped save the season and make me enjoy it as much as I did, because I did really enjoy this anime, what helped me enjoy it was watching these characters and their personalities, like such clear-cut character personalities for such a big cast is very rare. And each one, despite like how little screen time they had or how much it didn't focus on them, had such a very clear-cut character and design and style. You could just see it, and watching them become animated and like just watching them move, it really helped the enjoyment factor for me. Like, even Mineta, like that tiny ass motherfucker, like watching his progression and his facial expressions, and then just seeing what you imagined on the manga, like actually being animated in front of you, like the movement and the voice, I think really helps with mm-hmm. this immersion of it, and just general great character design and personality backstory building, I think it really helps. Because mm-hmm. even Bakugo, as much shit as I give Melissa for him, like, it's very complex between his, like, hero complex and his, like, that hero supremacy kind of, like, I'm number one complex mixed with his kind of feeling of inadequacy as he sees more people that are better than him, essentially.
Mm-hmm. His inferiority complex.
Yeah, his inferiority complex. Like, mixing the two together comes with a really interesting character dynamic, and watching it grow throughout the seasons and through the manga, mm-hmm. it really helps build that, like, immersion aspect. So I think that's what saves me a lot of me mm-hmm. watching it, because I don't really watch things, especially if I'm reading the manga and I've stuck to the manga.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Boku no Hero Academia does best is the character development.
Yeah, so actually, let's kind of go on to that now. So how well does the first season introduce our supporting cast? Because honestly, what makes or break a good shonen anime is always going to be the supporting cast.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about, like, how it sets them up?
I love the cast.
I think because season one is that buildup of the world and basically introducing it and setting the rules of the world, they focus on, like, the main titular, like, core members.
Yes.
So Bakugo, All Might, Deku, even Aizawa. Ochako and Ida are there, but it's kind of like secondary supporting cast.
I think they come in more in, like, season two.
They start coming in, like, the other cast start coming in more as the seasons go on. Like, as each season goes, you start getting a focus on other characters and stuff.
But season one, it makes it very easy to kind of, like, connect with everyone.
Mm.
And, like, you just have, like, this, like, newfound appreciation for everyone just from, like, their first impressions, almost.
I think the little bits of
you see of them as, like, they go through, like, their first days of training, and you start seeing all of these different quirks that they have, and, mm-hmm. like, it's really easy to kind of pick out and, like, okay, like, there's a reason why you like, kind of each single person that's in this class.
It gives us a reason to kind of, like, pay attention to the side characters, and, you know, it gives us, it quickly establishes what the dynamic is, what their person, they're, like, at a glance, what their personality quirk is, and, sorry, quirk, poor choice of words, but, yeah, and it leaves us wanting more, which is what they give us further down the line, but it's a great, great introduction.
Like, they're there for a reason, not just for background.
Yeah, so I think the moment that establishes the supporting cast, whether they were, like, the main cast that they were focusing on for season one, despite that, I think episode 5 specifically, when they're doing the assessment test, I think that kind of embeds itself into your heads at certain characters, because that's when you really get to see, like, their designs of the characters, like, this is what they look like. And even that rank list at the end where they're like, who's number one, who's number two, and so on. It goes, oh, this character got number one, this character got number two, and then, like, the introduction of their quirks during this session. It helps you get interested going, like, because everyone at some point in their life went, if I could have a superpower, what would it be?
Yeah. Right? Everyone's gone through
and that. Class 1A kind of embodies that.
Yeah.
There's a person with variety.
Every single person has something different to offer.
Yeah, and then the fact, like, the reason why I ended up, like, Yao Yorozu became my favorite character in Boku no Hero Academia. I've mentioned this before, but season 5 kind of caught my eye, or not season 5, sorry, episode 5 caught my eye with that, because she ranked first out of everyone. And I'm just like, she was, like, ranked first or second. I think second was Shoto, Todoroki.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so she ranked first, and I'm like, oh, she ranked first above Bakugo, who we knew had a very versatile and, like, quote-unquote powerful quirk, because it's just explosions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, out of all of these people with such diverse ability, somehow you ranked number one by being at the very least, average across the board of all of these different quirks. Because they showed the best people of each segment kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Minata did the best on the line jumps. Like, the side jumps. Bakugo just exploded himself across. Ida ran like hell on the track racing. Ocheko got literally infinity during the ball toss. Like, and yet somehow
she is precious.
Somehow this random character got number one out of the entire group.
Yeah, I actually did pull up the ranking, by the way, and it was Yaomomo was first, and then Todoroki, and then Bakugo, and then Ida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's things like that, like the little things within this anime that really catches my eye, with especially when they're building up their supporting cast.
Yeah, and in a lesser anime, they would have made Deku number one easily.
No, they would have made Bakugo number one. Bakugo or Todoroki.
Since he was like pretty much that other character that was introduced kind of like day one from the start.
Yeah.
Like you would think, okay, like this is obviously his rival. You know, because it's very obvious that Midoriya is your main character. And then, you know, a lot of the focus otherwise is gonna go over to Bakugo. And it's like, ideally, you know, you would think, okay, he's gonna be that number one, because that's where, you know, Deku's basically aiming to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even he's getting knocked down a few pegs because, you know, you get his side of he's not the perfect, you know, hero that he thinks he really is.
Yeah, because there's two people ahead of him and he thought he would ace everything every single time. And he didn't see Todoroki or Yamamoto's score because they were recommended students. They got actually recommended to come to school and they took a different exam.
Yep.
That's that comes up later. But yeah, so it's just like you would think this would happen, quote unquote, because like especially because it's season one, you don't expect like you kind of expect all of season one to be kind of like that trading montage until the very last episode where they pull a win out of their ass because of friendship or some shit like that.
No, there's actually none of that.
Yeah, but Deku actually wins very early on in the anime.
Yes.
One with getting All Might's quirk, like becoming deemed worthy to be a successor.
Mm-hmm.
And then training and then being allowed to essentially consume it. And even though it was like literally the day before the next exam or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, in episode 7, when him and Bakugo go head to head for the first time ever in this entire series, on like kind of equal terms, and Deku squeaks out a win, like somehow out of his ass, like Deku gets a win.
Yeah, again, whereas, like in a lesser series, that would be like that'd be the finale for the season.
It'd be the finale slash he would have gotten like this really like. Bakugo would have come close to losing, but just barely squeaks by with the win because, like, the main character faints or some shit like that. Like,
nope.
We've seen that. Usually how that goes. We've seen that on multiple occasions.
Yeah. So, like,
there is some subversion.
Yeah, surprisingly, he gets wins pretty early on.
Yep.
All right. But in not, like, the most, like, expected fashion.
Yeah.
I want to say.
It's not like Food Wars where it's an easy win.
Yeah.
Which I remember, like, it was always a big complaint I hear is, you know, he wins too easily. No, you see what it takes for Deku to win, and you see how much it hurts him. He's, like, mm-hmm. right from the back.
Start. Especially in season one.
I'd argue with Food Wars, the backstory was built up for him to essentially be this dominating force as much as possible with just people that aren't at that same level.
That's another episode, though.
Another episode
anyway.
Unnamed kind of like episode this series.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, the other thing for me is I was surprised how many episodes they did for kind of like that final quote unquote arc slash battle.
Yeah, it was only like, what, 4-5 episodes?
It was episodes 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Five.
Yeah. So, like, granted, they came in at, like, the very end of episode 9. Like, episode 9 closed out with them kind of appearing. But I still count it because that was kind of, like, the...
That's still your first view of it. It's just like, something's not right here.
Active point. My other thing that was surprising to me during, like, that kind of, like, final battle arc for this season was they didn't focus on just Deku.
No.
They actually went out of their way and showed different happenings at different points in the at USJ.
Yep.
Because it was Izuku, Asui, and Tsuyu, and Minata on the boat. But then they would also show, like, what Kaminari, Jiro, and Yamamoto were doing over at the mountainous range and what they were going through. And then Todoroki just kind of dominating his area.
With Kirishima.
Yeah.
And then, you get, like, little bits of everyone that was, like, you know, basically forced to scatter around.
Yeah, so for a show that's very shonen, it doesn't focus solely on just Deku, like, so much on Deku. Like, they actually give a surprising amount of even time among the supporting cast. Like, of course, Deku gets the most moments.
And you get to see how they interact outside of Deku.
Yeah, like, it just... It's kind of cool. And it's also, like, not... they're kind of, like, acquaintance/friends, classmates with Deku, but they all have their own friend groups and their own personalities and stuff like that. So that's interesting, too.
You see the little cliques forming.
Yeah, like... it actually is a high school. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just Hero High School, guys.
Yep.
It's Sky High.
We don't talk about that. Don't ever bring it up.
Like the fifth mention of Sky High now throughout this
episode? Look, it's Sky High, okay?
We get it. You don't have to keep on mentioning it. So let's talk about some of the others, like, supporting characters. Let's talk about All Might here, because right off the bat, All Might leaves an impression from the start, and how, like, you really get a sense of how big he is and how important he is to the world in general, let alone the story. And again, he's also one of my favorite characters.
He's just America.
Yes, he is Mr. America, despite being in Japan.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. That was the wildest fucking thing.
Because all those smash.
Yeah, United States of Smash.
Yeah.
Oklahoma Smash.
It's, what was it? What was that show called? Hero Man.
Oh my god, man. That is a pull. Oh lord, wow, that is a deep
cut. It's not wrong, though.
You're right, but holy shit, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, so it's just like that.
And you got the other teachers. You got Aizawa, everyone's favorite grump.
I love Aizawa. Best dad.
Yeah.
You also got... let's talk about the villain, because, like, for someone... like, that is going to be important throughout the whole rest of the story, they don't really present him as that big in this. Like,
his introduction was very shallow.
Yes. Like, you don't know really anything about Shigaraki this first season. And I think I'm pretty sure that's intentional.
I did like
a very mysterious vibe about him, especially because, like, you do see him, you know, spoiler alert, you know, he does escape, you know, so you're kind of left wondering, okay, exactly what is this guy going to be up to, you know, down the road? You know, what else are we going to learn about him? You know, what are his intentions besides, oh, I want to come kill All Might?
So rather than mysterious, I want to say he was very childish for someone who was eventually introduced as, like, the season's final boss, like, battle kind of thing.
He comes off as a mid-boss rather than the final boss.
It's because they tease, ahead spoiler, but straight off the bat, they were already planning the all for one, one for all thing from the very beginning, because the TV with the sensei thing, like, that was kind of understated, so it was kind of like a back thought, but then later as the shows go on, you go back to season one, and you're like, oh, okay, this setup was there from the very beginning.
Good-ass long-form storytelling, I love it.
Yeah, thinking about the whole overarching view.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, Okay. Like, so overall, despite being so shonen, I think it's very well done. Whereas, like, when you have Naruto, it started off pretty strong and then just kind of started devolving because they kept pushing and making it keep going despite the art authors.
The fact that they made it a seasonal show rather than a long form, like never ending show, really worked to its favor.
Yeah.
Because when I think about all the other big shonens and how they're run, especially if they're done by a simple company of Toei.
Not naming any names.
I think Boku no Hero Academia is like the first show that, for me personally, because I know a lot of people like Black Clover, which is one of the other big shonen ones. Black Clover and Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So for me, My Hero Academia, I think it's kind of like this story will for sure end when the author wants it to. Like, there's no way that this is forced to continue, kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, given that they've had so many alternate endings that they've essentially thought about over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those, it's just like, this isn't the time to end it, you know? So it's kind of, you know, put aside and they continue on because
there's just not stopping it. Big bucks, let's keep going. Like, Bleach suffered from that. They should have just ended it after Aizen and died, so.
Why did you have to mention that show?
Bleach is honestly the best example of a show that just kept getting pushed and adding more and more ridiculous shit to it. All for the name of profit.
We'll address that for another future episode.
I'm just saying, like, in a comparison, like, My Hero Academia really feels like a complete story. Like, when this concludes in the author's mind, this will conclude kind of feel.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping they don't do the thing where it's just like, keep giving us more content.
Given where it's heading, and it's something that,
we'll,
you know,
try to be as spoiler free as possible.
I'm not gonna really say anything, but given where it's headed, I do like the direction that it's going. Only because my coworker was just like, do you care about spoilers from the manga? And I'm just like, no, go ahead, show it to me. And we had a full-on conversation about it in the office the other day.
Yes. Especially as of recording, if you read the latest chapter.
Yeah.
It'll be good to see where it goes and kind of the direction that it's headed, where you think it might end. Is that going to be the conclusion, or are we going to get more than we really are bargaining for?
So I want to just kind of set more shallower stuff here. So let's talk about the first opening. Where does it rank overall? Where does the day rank overall with My Hero Academia? Where do you guys put it?
Opening, like the opening and ending songs.
Let's focus on the opening first, because that's kind of the one thing that people always point to.
Like I've mentioned in previous episodes, I watch the opening once and then I never do it again unless it's a new opening. But I think it was a very usual anime opening. Like, I honestly, like, unless the music is super standout to me, I don't typically remember openings. I'll be honest.
Okay.
For me personally.
Trying to remember the opening because it's been a while since I've actually listened to it.
It was The Day by Porno Graffiti.
I think it was one of the ones I did enjoy, because there are a couple that I don't really care for too much.
I mean, my favorite one is Odd Future, so apparently I'm in the minority there.
Anyway.
Okay, I do remember it. I listened to the first 3 seconds of it and I remember.
Okay.
It is very catchy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of, and I think that it kind of carries for all of the songs, I think. But it's definitely a very catchy song.
Is it the best opening out of the series?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I think some of the later seasons have better openings.
Hmm.
And I think the same thing with the ending as well.
Okay. All right. So, I guess to wrap this up, would we recommend this to anyone who's curious?
Yes.
Yeah. Just easily.
Absolutely.
It's hard not to.
Some people won't like it just because of pure fact of how shonen it is. Because Like, sometimes just shonen is just not their cup of tea. But I would recommend giving it a try at least once, because I feel like there's always a character for someone because of how big the cast is for this show.
If you're a full-blown cynic and proud, you're probably not going to like the show, or you're never going to give it a chance. But if you have an open mind and you just even just a casual fan of anime, I'm pretty sure you're going to like it.
Yeah. It appeals very much to a base Western audience, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll have a draw to even just non-anime fans and people that just like general stuff or prefer like even Western cartoons over anime. I think My Hero Academia has something for those people too.
Yep.
Like you don't have to like anime at all, but I think because the English voice acting is actually pretty well done as well.
It's really well done.
It is actually one of those few anime that I think I could watch in either like a sub or a dub format.
Again, shout out to Funimation for the
how Western this entire feel is. Like how, because like, I think we've mentioned it before when we were talking about subs and dubs. Like animes that tend to be very Western dub tend to dub better,
mm-hmm.
just because of like just pure virtue of understanding the English of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so guys, which anime series do you guys want to have us like review the first season of? Let us know. Hit us up on the official network socials, NGP Productions on everywhere. We got the suggestions to save myself some time and to say everywhere.
All the things.
On all the things.
As Jamie has said previously.
And you can also find our Discord on those all the things, and you can hang out with us there. Or where can people find us individually? So, Dom?
You can find me on Twitter at TheRaven.
Melissa?
At Subject Despair.
And you can find myself at Perpetual Player. Thank you so much for listening to Not Your Typical Weebs. If you like what we do, please leave us a review, a rating on wherever you listen to our show. And as always, guys, don't let your trash define you. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.